Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome in, guys. This is another Panther Ranch podcast. I'm Vlad Harris here. Happy Friday to you guys. Temperature right now here is about 72 degrees. It's going to be close to 80 today. Which, you know, I'm not going to complain about that at all. Today is the last day here as the kids are on spring break all next week. Which, I don't mind. I mean, for me, I ain't got to pack lunches. I ain't got to make sure kids are dressed. I ain't got to drop kids off. That's why I cherish the most about these school breaks. I ain't gonna do any of that crap. And plus, making sure your kids do their homework. Because there's nothing more lovely than walking your kid into school and they say, oh yeah, I had a project that's due tomorrow, or I have one that's due today. And you're like, okay, why don't you bring, Where's the damn paper at, for one thing? I had that happen to me where my son lost his paper. And so, but Ren didn't tell me about it where I could just ask the teacher. He waits till like the day of it, and I'm like, fuck. Like, well, looks like you're getting a zero. And, you know, obviously I wasn't too happy about that, but that's life. I mean, you gotta say something. Always. Anyways, we got a lot of loaded stuff to talk about, and we may even get to this less than 20 minutes, because it's a lot of it straightforward. Some of it I may ramble about, but the first topic, the hottest one right now is Antonio Brown. I guess was supposed to go to the Bills. A lot of people reporting. And Brown replied to some sort of Instagram comment that said fake news. And I'm guessing he wasn't really too keen on going to Buffalo. And I'm sure he threw a temper tantrum. And I'm sure Buffalo realized if we trade for this guy, is he really even going to show up to the Buffalo? No. I mean, I do commend the Steelers for, you know, fulfilling his request to be traded. I mean, Steelers came through on this one. I mean, he wanted to be traded, and they found a team for him. It didn't work out, unfortunately. It's part of the team Antonio Brown wants. So, they're screwed there. I mean, if anything, Antonio Brown has the Steelers by the balls in this case. So, they're going to have to deal him somewhere where he wants to go. Otherwise, he's gonna act like a little asshole about it, and that's that. I mean, Steelers just can't outdo him in that department, because he's the one who still has time left on his deal. And I'm sure he's made enough money where he can sell the season if he had to. But yeah, they got this somewhere where he's probably going to want a quarterback or somewhere nice. So, I don't know. Why don't they send him to Miami? I mean, Miami is a nice place. And sure, I mean, that he'll have Ryan Tannehill and throw him the football, but it's not bad. I'm sure there's plenty of places he can go. But that being said, you know, as far as this whole thing goes, Antonio Brown, the Steelers, Ben, and whatnot, nobody's really innocent in this whole thing. obviously they'll have some sort of accountability in all this, and I don't think any of them are going to take any accountability. That's the thing. They need to be held accountable, but I don't think they're going to take any accountability for it. None of them will. Ben won't. Antonio Brown won't. And Steelers won't. And to throw fuel into the fire, you have this report that Ben, I guess, donated some canines to some police. And obviously, you know, this I wouldn't say it went viral. I guess it was more known. The thing about this is Ben's been doing this for years. He has a whole canine project he does, or he donates canines to the police forces. But the thing about this is once social media finally discovers it, I mean, of course, that's how behind the times Twitter can be. I mean, they just discovered Sandra Bullock thanks to a little television show on Netflix. They finally discovered who she was. Well, she's been around for, like, you know, decades. But that's just how social media is. They ignore all the other stuff and then wait for the actual time to be outraged or excited or whatnot. Case in point, Oprah. Oprah, not too long ago, they wanted her to run for president to take down Donald Trump, right? And she gave a speech, and, oh, Oprah's so awesome, this and that. But then some photos surfaced of her and her being buddies with Harvey Weinstein and her doing all this stuff. Now Oprah does a documentary on Michael Jackson, the Neverland thing. And all of a sudden now Oprah is a sellout and all kind of other stuff. And Oprah's evil. That's pretty much social media in a nutshell with this type of stuff. It's like one of the opening scenes of Clerks, where the guy strings up a cigarette smoking protest because he's a Truly's gum salesman, and he's just doing it to get more gum. So he gets the guys who are buying cigarettes to attack Dante Hicks, who's selling cigarettes behind the counter. And then Dante's girlfriend arrives, and she sprays them all with a fire extinguisher and disperses the crowd. And then, you know, of course, finds out what this guy's deal is, why he's doing this. Turns out he has his own agenda. He's selling gum, and he's getting the cigarette guys to buy gum. And when it's all said and done, one guy gets up, clears his throat, puts his money on the counter, and asks for a pack of cigarettes. And, of course, Dante rings him up all pissed off. That's pretty much, you know, how these things happen on Twitter in a nutshell. That's pretty much how it happens. But anyways, let's steer away from that for a little bit, because we're getting way off topic. Obviously, we'll see what happens today if the Steelers actually even deal him. If they're able to reach a deal. Because I think Friday was supposed to be the day he was supposed to be dealt, but we'll see what happens. It may not happen. I thought maybe they should reconcile with him. You know, all come together and do something. Actually, if they would do that, it would be that'd be a better story than the trade itself. All of them coming together, talking, and they can go on social media and take a picture together with themselves holding hands and huddling. They could do that. I mean, plenty of stuff they could do. If I knew this guy was going to bust a U-turn, I would never let him fucking make it. Well, never mind, because this dickhead had a cross through. I was trying to let another guy through, and of course, in typical Houston traffic fashion, some guy almost causes an accident. Oh well. That's just what happens when you podcast and drive at the same time. But I didn't realize this U-Haul was going to bust a U-E or else I would have never let them through. But that's part of life. But, you know, whatever. There, if anything, maybe it's good. Maybe it's going to be good karma for me for today. Who knows? But I tried to help somebody out who really needed it. But yeah, I mean, as far as Antonio Brown and AB, same guy, of course. Ben, the Steelers. It'd be cool if they would just reconcile and just, like, you know, have them all, like, huddled together at a table and, like, you know, with their arms around each other. Like, you know, say we are one team and we will not fight again. See, that would be a better story than the trade itself. But I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't know why. And of course, this U-Haul won't let this guy out now. I mean, I was nice enough to let this guy bust a U-E. But to be fair, this car is trying to make a left turn across lanes in front of a U-Haul, and it's probably one of the dumbest ideas you could do because you can't see anything for one. So, I don't know. I ain't let a constable through, so I'm sure this constable's going to try to pull me over now because he's, because you know how petty constables are. We'll see. And now he can't make his right turn now, the constable, because he pulled behind a guy, and a guy noticed the light was yellow, and he stopped, so the constable can't pull, the constable can't even make his turn now. But yeah, this is the life of driving, to rush hour. All right, guys, let's get to more stuff because I'm going to spend too much time talking about the Steelers. Chris Blewett signed to the Bears. The Bears signed, I think, two kickers, I think. Blewett was one of them, and, of course, the name itself went viral, obviously, because of his name, Blewett, and people jumped all over it. And, I sent some tweets out under the Bears tweet when they announced the signing. One of them was Blewett nailing that field goal against Clemson that all the Bears fans seem to really love. I said because it was at Clemson. And I said the one where he nailed the 56-yard against Georgia Tech that barely crossed the bar, and it was a beautiful one. And, of course, there's a guy here in Houston who covers the Texans religiously. He's a big homer. And he was mocking the name of Blewett. And I replied to him saying, I sent him the link. I said, hey, he knocked off Deshaun Watson at Clemson. And he's like, well, when did this happen? This had to happen, early in the year, I said, it happened around the middle of the year. They were able to recover. Oh, wow. I didn't realize this was going to happen. Because Deshaun Watson's never lost a collegiate game, ever. That's what happens when you have homers. They ignore all the other shit and remember all the good shit. So, Blewett signs them. Who knows what's going to happen with him after this? If he even, because they signed two kickers, and I guess they're moving on from Cody Pankey or Parkey, whatever his name is. They're moving on from him. And you hate to have kickers lose their jobs in this type of way, but it just happens. They either lose their jobs or they go elsewhere. I mean, their job, obviously, is to make field goals and to kick the ball off. That's what they do. I mean, we've seen it happen before the Steelers. I mean, for instance, Chris Brown. The game against Baltimore in the middle of the 2001 season. It was at Heinz, and the Steelers dominated that game, but the problem is they couldn't get in the end zone. And Chris Brown pretty much shanked almost every field goal in that game imaginable and ended up losing it. And after that, Chris Brown was just never the same player. And the Steelers eventually moved on from him. Actually, yeah, after that season, he was done. He ended up with the Texans, and he played with the Texans for a couple of years, for quite some time actually. I think when I was officially in Houston was 2009. I think he was still playing, and I think eventually the same thing happened to him. He was missing field goals towards the end, and he wasn't the same player. It happens. We saw it with Chris Boswell this past year, but Chris Boswell was hurt. And people complained about the money we gave him, but Boswell was doing really good up until then. He earned that money. He just got hurt and, of course, was never the same. I'm not sure what they do with him after, but now I'm thinking they're probably going to move on from him. Like Sean Swisham. Same thing. He got hurt. Chris Boswell got really hot. He was cheap. And Boswell at the time was a cheaper alternative, and they went with Boswell. And same with Jeff Reed. I mean, after the last Super Bowl they played in 43, it's when Jeff Reed's that's when his production started to not to mention his clutchiness started to tell away, and he spent more time getting shit faced and fighting paper towel dispensers and sheets. It's like, if you're a kicker, the last thing you want to be is in the news and the police blotter. And it seemed like he was just... I don't know. It seemed like with Reed, it seemed like he had a problem more than anything else. Let's not forget that freaking... that frosted blonde hair he had. I mean, he had the whole Guido thing down pretty well. I remember one kicker issue that was really sensitive among Steelers fans is when the Steelers didn't re-sign Gary Anderson and moved on from him. I remember people were so mad about this. I remember the Post-Gazette sports mailbag. People were pissed off that the Steelers did not re-sign Gary Anderson that year. Because he'd been with the club for about 11, 12 years. He had such a storied history with the Steelers, and they didn't re-sign him. They went cheaper, and I think they went with Norm Johnson. Norm actually was a good kicker. I like Norm. But then Norm got old, and they drafted Chris Brown, who was the kicker for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. But as far as Blewett goes, hey, I hope it works out for him. He's a good kid. And to have a name like Blewett, I'm sure the guy's got really thick skin. And he's handled this before on many occasions. This ain't going to bother him one bit. I mean, if there's one person you want to hang out with in life, it's probably Chris Blewett. Because I'm sure his perspective on life is probably really good with a name like that. Alright, now, some other fun stuff. Some more fun things have happened in terms of the NCAA basketball recruiting stuff. I guess Christian Dawkins was involved with two other schools. One was from Nebraska, one was from Texas. It turns out the one school was Creighton, which is no surprise. And the other one was, surprisingly, Texas Christian University. TCU Horned Frolics. So, when this came out initially, I said this had to be pre-Dixon because Dawkins was more affiliated with Adidas. And TCU is a Nike school. So, I did some more prodding around and I found some excerpts that were posted. And it turns out, what happened here was it happened in 2017, And the coach at the time was, well, Jamie Dixon. Jamie was coaching TCU at the time. So, of course, from the Pitt Twitter sphere's perspective, if you love Jamie or hate him, if you love them, you knew this stuff was going on with him. I mean, it was happening at Pitt, too. Jamie just kept himself out of it as best as he could. He left it between the assistants and what they were going to do. I mean, Kem Burch didn't come for free. And there's several other players Pitt got that didn't really come for free either. I think one player actually they paid cash for, which, you know, I won't really dive into the details of that. But, yeah, there was one player they supposedly paid cash for. And then, you know, and if we're being honest, the player that they paid for, I don't think they really got much return on him to begin with, but that's just part of college athletics when you're buying players. They're gonna have a lot of potential in high school, but it's going to be hit or miss. Sometimes you're going to miss on a few. It's like SMU. I mean, SMU had a big-ass payroll, and they were luring all those parade All-Americans. Not all of them were going to be good, as we saw. And you'll have a few that, you know, that just don't pan out and are unhappy, and maybe some go to the NCAA. But yeah, I was having a pit too. I mean, those 21 seasons and those NCAA tournaments, the appearances weren't, you know, they weren't just coming out of nowhere. But in terms of the TCU incident, it's more between the assistant and the and Dawkins than Dixon itself. There's pretty much no involvement with Dixon whatsoever or knowledge. I'm sure TC will investigate and they won't really. It'll be this whatever. There won't be much. And the NCAA is not going to, you know, pursue anything, and charges aren't going to be pressed. So really, this incident really just minor, if anything else. People were wondering if Jamie was going to, you know, leave Texas, was going to leave TCU all of a sudden, because, you know, TCU plays in front of 5,000 fans because that's their arena isn't that big. Jamie's not going to go anywhere, at least for a time being. He's not going to do a dick move on his alma mater and just leave. And right now at this moment, I don't think there's anywhere Jamie can go. There's no other job really he can take. He's had some big job offers. It's just he was happy at Pitt, and I think he's fine where he's at. He's probably better off right now. There was talk of him going after the UCLA job. UCLA is probably going to either go after Luke Walton or probably Jay Wright. Luke Walton would be the logical one because things are falling apart in LA right now. And, of course, LeBron's obviously going to probably offload him and bring in his own coach, probably Ty Lue. Because with Ty Lue, he can tell him what to do. So there you go. So yeah, I don't see him. I don't see Luke Walton surviving this season. But I can see him end up in UCLA. Jay Wright to UCLA is a pipe dream. If we're being honest right now, if you look at the state of both programs, UCLA would be a step down from Villanova for Jay Wright. Jay has won 2 national championships at Villanova. He's in a really good basketball conference with the Big East. I mean, that conference is really starting to take shape. You know, I didn't think it was going to be that great of a conference, but it's taking shape. It was a good basketball conference because they're rid of all the football schools. Although it was a really good basketball conference with the football schools, because the football schools were the best teams there, but now they're gone. There's, you know, it's all basketball got teams, and, you know, it's getting tough out there. The programs are improving because they don't have to compete with football programs for recruits now. But yeah, Villanova's a step down right now from UCLA. If I'm Jay Wright, I'm looking at both schools, and I'm like, nope, I'm not going to UCLA. UCLA was a really good job a long time ago, and it's not what it was. It had one good period with John Wooden, and that was it. They won a national title in the mid-90s. People thought that UCLA was back. No, the way the landscape is now, it's hard to do. I mean, if you think about it, Ben Howland had what Russell Westbrook and freaking Kevin Love, and still could win a national championship. I mean, that's just wow in general. And that's another thing with Jamie Dixon and UCLA. UCLA would be getting another variation of Ben Howland, and I don't think they want that anymore. I mean, Bill Walton hated Ben Howland after a while. I mean, although the Steve Alford hiring was still a little bit of a, you know, a scratcher in itself, but yeah, I don't see him going through Jamie. I think Luke Walton's going to be the logical choice. Jay Wright's not leaving Villanova. I mean, Villanova's a better job right now than UCLA. Jay's already won 2 national titles. He doesn't really need to go anywhere else to prove himself. So, that's that. And as far as TCU goes, I think they'll be fine. As far as Jamie goes, I think he's fine where he's at. I think he's got 2 top level recruiters on his staff, which the one guy is the one who got in trouble. But the thing about TCU is right now they're on the bubble. I'm not sure if they will make the tournament. The bubble's weak this year, so they might. But Jamie lost 5 players this year. I'm not sure how things are going to be with them next year. You know, it depends on what guys they bring in. But next year is going to be a big drop off. And so you just hope with them, the honeymoon doesn't end with him. Because for one thing, TCU's really put a lot of money in their program. They've really revamped that arena because I was in that arena before they renovated it, and it was like a high school gymnasiums were more built up than that one. And he's playing in front of 5,000 fans. But if he has really good recruiters, really good staff, and brings really good players, you know, Gonzaga plays in front of 5,000, for God's sakes, and they do pretty well. So, crowd size is everything. I mean, the Bryce Jordan seats more people than the Pete. And look what's done for Penn State. Nothing. But, you know, stay tuned for that. Now, speaking of staying on topic with the whole Jamie Dixon thing. Jamie left for TCU, and we ended up with Kevin Stallings. And things fell apart. Obviously, you know, Stallings, we basically hired the basketball version of Majors 2. Nice guy Stallings is, or at least we thought, or think, or hope. But he obviously didn't have the grind to recruit towards the end, as a lot of people said, and that's pretty much was Pitt's downfall. So, with Dixon leaving, Pitt's basketball program went upside down. But there's another program that's going upside down, and that's Vanderbilt. You know, I've been following this story for probably the last few weeks. Vanderbilt right now is 0-17 in SEC play. So regardless if I talk, if I wait till they're 0-18 to talk about it, or 1-17, it's irrelevant right now. Under Bryce Drew, that program has went upside down. And there was a lot of talk about how, you know, hiring Bryce Drew, this young, fresh mind, you know, up-and-comer, was going to, you know, revitalize Vanderbilt. It's made them worse. And, you know, a lot of people were excited over Bryce Drew because, you know, Stallings left him a borderline NCAA tournament team. He got them to the tournament his first year. The next year they went 12-20 overall, and this year it's even they can't even get a win in the SEC. So Vanderbilt has gone completely upside down. Everybody thought how awesome this hire was going to be. You know, Bryce Drew, oh, so great. Kevin Stallings, oh, he sucks. Well, you know what? It's not to say that Stallings was a bad coach. He did pretty decent at Vanderbilt. It's just towards the end, his shelf life was pretty much done. Where probably once things were done at Vanderbilt, he probably should have, you know, went and did something else. Instead, he came to Pitt. And really, it was, you know, it was time for him to go. And, you know, if he's, hopefully wherever he's at, he's enjoying his retirement, his nice little big buyout that Scott Barnes was able to finesse for him before he left. And that's the frustrating part about all this. Is that Scott Barnes hired his buddy. Tried to, you know, play it off as if, you know, this was, you know, his guy all along. Act like a complete asshole about it. And then, on top of that, months later, he leaves for another school. He goes to Oregon State. And, you know, that's the frustrating part about this. The guy wasn't even here that long. Not even a year. And he pretty much scorched earth the basketball program and then leaves. That was the shitty part about all this. And supposedly he had, you know, some personal stuff going on. I think his daughter was battling cancer, which I can understand. But if you're trying to leave Pitt, leave the friggin' basketball program alone if you know you're not going to stay for too long. That's all I had to do, was just leave it alone and then let the next AD handle it. But no. Anyways, guys, I'm out of here. Enjoy your Friday. Enjoy your weekend. Hail to Pitt. Bye.